true and living God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I will be reading for your hearing this morning from the Word of God, the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. It's a little lengthy, but I'm going to read it again, so I ask that you rest on your feet. Hallelujah. And the Word of God reads. Jesus. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden, we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from or touch it, or you will die." The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from it its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to man. He called Adam. And he said to him, "Where are you?" And Adam responded. He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid myself." And God said to him, "Who told you that you were naked? Who told you that? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" We're going to rest and park right there. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you this morning for an opportunity to corporately stand in your presence, to worship you, to give you honor, to give you glory, to give you praise, but most importantly, to commune with you, oh God. We thank you that your presence is here in the midst, oh God. We thank you that your presence has already showed up, oh God. We send this service into your hands, oh God. You are fully in control. You are in charge, oh God. I thank you that you have allowed me to move Aisha out of the way. I have humbly sat down and decreed so that you, oh God, have all the room that you need to operate in and increasing in, through me, around me, and for my good, but most importantly, your glory. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, that they be acceptable on this day to your sight, oh God, because you are my strength and my blessed redeemer. I have studied, oh God, your word, but I stand here before your people, oh God, absolutely nothing without your strength. I have prepared, oh God, but I stand here before your people, nothing if I have no power from you, oh God, your power in and through me, oh God. I thank you, oh God, that I have this opportunity to stand behind your sacred desk and speak your word to your people. I count this not, I take it not lightly. It is a privilege and an honor. So have your way, God, in me from this moment forward. In Jesus' mighty name, we say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Told you that. We told you that you were naked. Amen. In verse 11, we go down and we see when God asked the question, he went directly. First of all, he called out to Adam. He didn't just come in and call the both of them. He called out to the man. And that's significant because the man was the one that God gave initial dominion. We understand that Adam and Eve both had dominion over the land, but Adam, you were in charge and you were off your job. And while you were asleep, someone was speaking to your wife. But I don't want to get ahead of myself, so let me just go ahead. So this is a familiar biblical story for us. It's more commonly referred to as the fall of man. This explains to us in detail how sin initially entered the world through Adam and Eve, causing us to, fall, causing us to have to suffer, causing us to die. Here we see how Eve allowed the serpent to speak to her. She allowed him to speak to her. She listened to him without any question. She didn't ask. She trusted when this, and at the point that he spoke to her, he wasn't on his belly yet, so he wasn't slithering, he wasn't crawling. He came into the garden because, you know, they were all there, spirit beings dwelling in that blessed garden that God created for them to dwell with him initially. So she listened. She didn't question him. She just trusted him immediately because she had never been exposed to deceit at this point because they were still in the beginning. Now, since creation, we know that Satan, Lucifer, has always coveted the power and the sovereignty of God. That's why he got kicked out. This is why he was kicked out of heaven. The jealousy, the envy, his pride, and all of those things caused him to lose or relinquish his power, for it to be reversed, I mean, revoked, and for him to be, what do you call that when you kick you out of the place? No, he got it. He got kicked out of his house. He got kicked out of the house. Yeah, he got served notice. Well, God gave him the notice when creation came about. I am God. So that you got the notice when you was created. You just wanted to come and change up the game, but that's on you. Anyway, and then we go back up to verse 11. Once again, God asked them, who told you? Who told you that you was naked? How did you know that? How? I want to understand. So now my sermon topic for today is, who told you that? And my subtopic, Pastor, because I'm getting together with my notes and stuff, right?
Amen.
Who? Praise God. We're going to bless God this morning. Who are you listening to? So who told you that?
Okay.
Who told you that? Who told you that you was naked? Who told you you didn't have on any clothes? That's the question that God asked out of. And all this time, we understand they were spirit beings. They were spirit. God created them as spirits. He didn't give them clothes when they were created.
Right.
They were not necessary because God's original plan for all of us was that we would dwell with him. We were created as spirits. So we were just spirit. They were just spirits living, dwelling with God. Notice it says God was in the garden. He heard his presence. Adam heard the presence of God in the garden, which means that God is spirit. Y'all, all spirits are spirits, as we say, you know, recognize spirits. They know he came through. So God is now at this time looking at them. You naked? Where you get that from? Who told you that? Just imagine if we are God. I just, you know, I'm literal. Everybody knows me. I'm silly. So I'm just thinking, if I'm God, how God looked when he was standing here and he's coming and he's looking for his creation. He wants to spend some time. But God already knew what they had done because, again, this is God. So now at this point, God is looking at Adam saying that we ran and we hid when we heard you coming for us because we were naked. Now, we all have children, right? Most of us have children. If you come into a room, I always say this, if I'm asking you a question, it's because I already know the answer. I already know the answer, so you hiding and trying to put on the leaves and all that other stuff. I already know what the deal is. So who, first of all, why are you hiding from me? Because I already know.
Okay.
But I'm trying to figure out, because I need to get the accountability and an answer from you as God. Who told you that? Who are you talking to?
Right.
You know, when we were kids and your parents would leave you at home alone, the first thing they say, don't talk to nobody, don't answer my door, don't answer my phone. Don't be talking to nobody. Daddy already told you, like, you were here, you're in the house, you're safe. Don't, who told you that? So he's looking at them saying, you're naked. I formed you, I'm God. I formed you from the dust of the earth, the dust that I created. I created you to perfection. Naked was never an option. Naked was never a consideration. No clothing was necessary. So where is all of this coming from? Who have you been talking to? Adam, my son, who have you been listening to? Now all of a sudden, there are these clothing insufficiencies and you feel bad because you and your wife are naked and exposed. Now chapter 1 tells us that the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that God had made. He was slick, just as the enemy is today. And if we are not mindful, we too can be tricked into having our nakedness exposed. Satan still creeps, not on his belly, and through people, through things, through voices, through songs, through circumstances and situations, through dreams, through thoughts, all of those things that Satan has access to that we allow him to enter. We allow him to enter our space, and we don't question it. The audacity of us to not guard our temples, the audacity of us to not guard our ear gates. After even knowing what happened to Adam and Eve, we're still wandering around living life, listening to any and every old body, knowing that they are not even qualified to speak to us. You got folks going around here making you believe that you're naked when God has already fully cloaked you, dressed you, covered you, sealed you, and you still hide every time God comes. But that's
okay.
Yeah, because he slipped. Well, the serpent immediately got Eve to question what she had already known. God told them, he gave them clear directions. You can have anything in this garden. Everything is yours. Not just can you have it belongs to you. You're in charge of it. You are in control. I've given you all the seeds to create more. When you start to run out, you're having these kids and they just eating you out of house and home. You have more. You can grow more. You got fish. They can procreate. They can do all that. He told you to be fruitful and multiply. So all of these things can come about. One thing I told you not to touch. Just one thing he said. That tree. Here comes this little old Lucifer. Mad, right? They had everything. All their needs were provided. They didn't have to worry about shopping. They didn't have to worry about buying clothes. They didn't have to worry about buying shoes and going to the cleaners and all that. I would have been chilling. Don't do me like that, Pastor. I would have went. I would have probably went to that tree as well. Most of us would. Most of us would. Because that is the perversion of our flesh. That's the pride because we always want to know. We need to know more. We need to know, what is that? We have questions. I know I do. I have questions and I need to know more information. And I feel like, well, if it's right there for me to find out, why can't I just go get the tree? Like, why can't I just take the fruit? Like, if I'm going to find out, you ain't telling me, so let me go find out. Eve should have just sat down. So what happened is because she desired more, I guess maybe they got bored in the garden. I really don't know. I probably would have been bored if you can't go outside. Y'all know I like to go outside. So he can't go outside. So we in the garden. And I want to know, why is it that God said we can't touch just that tree? And that's the prettiest tree in the garden. So why wouldn't I want to touch that tree? No, don't touch it. Going contrary to what God has already instructed the two of them to do. They allowed this serpent with his cunning, conniving, manipulative, deceitful self to come in there and speak words that went contrary to the good and perfect plan and the good and perfect directions that were already given to them. When God created, God already told you, don't touch it. Don't touch it. I gave you everything else. Leave that one alone. I know when I was a child, my mother had her favorite candy was Baby Ruth. She probably brought you Baby Ruth balls. Our refrigerator cabinet stayed stocked with snacks. But for some reason, I don't even like Baby Ruth, but because that was the forbidden candy, we would always go in the refrigerator and take those Baby Roots and always get in trouble. Like, we bought you all this stuff. You have all of this stuff. Why do you feel the need to touch that one thing when you have all of this? Because we're greedy. It's just in our nature. It's in our nature to just go. Eve now, because she was not comfortable or content with what God had given her, she desired more. She desired more. She desired to know more. She desired to seek more. She wanted to know what was on behind that prohibited space, that place where God said, don't touch. So the enemy knows this because that was his desire. He wanted to know more. He wanted more power. He wanted more knowledge. He wanted to be in control. Like, I want to be like God. Like, you know everything. Why can't I know everything? Aren't we created in your image, right? So he was able to convince Eve, you ain't going to die. You're not going to die. He just don't want you to get smart like him. He doesn't want you to know everything that is going on because then you don't need him. That's basically what the enemy does. Like, you ain't gonna die. I promise you. Like, mind you, you got kicked out of heaven. I'm gonna listen to you trying to give me advice when you got evicted from heaven. You lived up here. You already know. So why would we listen? Why did Eve allow him to come and speak to her? And why are you listening to him? Like, who's talking to us now? Putting us at risk of being evicted from some of the homes and some of the things in the spirit and in the natural where God has placed us. God has given us dominion over some things in our lives and in this natural realm. And we go in there and we know what God told us to do. We have clear directions. We have clear instructions. We know who we are. We know whose we are. But we walk in there and we start to fumble. We go in there and we start doing things that he never told us to do. Why? Because we're listening to them folks over there. the ones that's been sitting there, not aware of what the assignment on your life is or the anointing on your life is, and you just sit there because, hey, you know what? They got the nice office, or they got the nice car, or their relationships look like, oh, it's goals on social media, or whatever it is. They right, they've been all, they all booed up, they got all this other stuff, and they all excited. But so we want that because it's not what we have, and we're like, well, God, you gave me this boring assignment. I don't want to go through that. I don't want to go there. I want a mega church. I want a big old house. I want my own jet. I want everything. So let me go. Why wouldn't I want to listen to them? Because they have something that I am desiring. They have something that I am coveting for myself, something that I am envious of. And all of these things we know cause us to sin. It causes us to go contrary to what God has called us to do. God gives to each of us a measure according to our faith, what we can handle. So there's a reason why God instructed them, do not touch that tree.
There's a reason.
There's always a reason when God says no. There's always... There's always a reason when God says no. The serpent, he made himself comfortable with Eve, and he dumbed it down as to say, girl, you're not going to die. It's not that serious. I was listening to someone give their testimony this week, actually, and it was a young lady who was from the Grand Old Church of God in Christ. Y'all calling her out. And she lived her entire life, well, decades. She was into her 20s. And she's married now, but her testimony was she listened to the wrong people. She was in her early days, like 12, 13, she said in middle school it started out, she felt awkward and she began coming attracted to women. And she didn't understand why. There was always a urge or a desire just to be different. But when they found out she had some therapy and she had mother issues, but she was counseling, it should have helped her, right? But she went to a therapist after all of those years, and they told her, the man said to her, you won't be comfortable in your life until you just come out and live it as a lesbian. She was in a home with her parents were in ministry, Pentecostal ministry. And so the therapist told her that she was gay. And she believed it. She listened.
Wow.
So she went on, this is in middle school, she became a young adult, high school, I'm sorry. She was working and she was serving in the ministry because she was a ministry child. And she said, for years, first ladies, women in ministry were living the same down low lives that we talk about with the men in the church, okay? And they were telling her, they told her, women of the cloth, women investments, women with high standing ordinations and consecrations, help us, Lord God, help us, your church. They said to her, one part of the story stood out because the ladies took the first lady ordained in the Lord's church. You don't have to worry about this as long as when you get out there, you look good. As long as you are ministering out there, no one has to know about this. Don't worry about that. So that Sunday, she said she was at the altar and she was desiring deliverance. She wanted to be different. She knew what she was doing was wrong. Holy Spirit was convicting her, but no one was helping her. So that very same woman that had said those words to her, that spoke those words, told her that, came up to her at the altar to lay hands on her, to pray. This is a woman that she was just doing the whole most, not the holy most, but the whole most. Right. You are having sexual relations with a woman, the first lady of your church, and you're a young girl. And she told you, don't worry about that. As long as when you come out here, you can perform the part. You can look the part. Just put on the vestments. Just know how to shout. Just know how to sing. Just know how to repeat the word, recite the word. You don't have to necessarily live it. Because yeah, it's God. It's not, that's what the enemy does. He makes you think that it's not that bad. It's not that serious. But saints of the Most High God, I'm here today to tell you that it is indeed that serious. It is that serious. So, you have to ask yourself, who am I allowing to come to me and say anything, tell me anything? Before it even gets contrary, who sent you? Why are you talking to me?
Who sent you?
I don't know you like that. You don't get to tell me anything but good morning. I don't know you. Jesus. This is Jesus. Eve's mistake was she just listened to any nobody. This thing came rolling up in your garden, your house. You didn't even ask him. He didn't call first. He ain't say, hey, I'm in the area, I'm passing by. He just rolled up and you just let him tell you something. That caused you to lose everything that got you, the perfect will of God for your life. You gave it up willingly. Gave it up willingly because of your disobedience, and because your disobedience was fueled by desires, fleshly desires, carnal desires, pride-filled desires, envy and jealousy, and all of these things, because your desires are not correct. They're not in line with the will of God. But you listen to him anyway. You were given everything you needed. In Genesis 1:26-31, it tells us how God told them that they had responsibilities. God gave them the authority, and he told them what it was that they had full access to. But you allowed this old raggedy thing to come in your house and destroy your house. You didn't even want company. Y'all was chilling. Y'all should have been taking a nap. You shouldn't even let him come in. But that's okay, because listening to the wrong voices can cost you so much.
So much.
Listening to the wrong voices can literally cost us our lives.
Yes.
Listening to the wrong voices will have you going totally against God's perfect plan for your life. It will. Listening to the wrong people will have you spiraling down a rabbit hole of sin unaware. You won't even recognize it. They will be cheering you on and encouraging you all the way down to your ultimate death, demise. Because they don't care. That's like Satan. He already got kicked out. He know he will never, ever have access again. So I'm sitting here and she go, hey, go ahead. If I'm rooting for you to be down here with me. He's trying to recruit people for hell, for eternity for him. So they're going to be by your side. Yeah, girl, go ahead and do it. Yeah, girl, go ahead and sleep with him. Yeah, girl, go ahead and sleep with her. Yeah, go ahead and drink that. Go ahead and try that. It's not that bad. Surely you're not going to die. You're not going to be addicted. You're not going to, you go ahead and do it. And watch yourself spiral down that hill, because God already gave you clear directions.
Clear.
He did. He gave us clear directions. We have to be mindful that the enemy's ultimate goal, we always know, is to get us as far away and to keep us as disconnected from God to the point where we can no longer hear him.
Okay.
The enemy wants to get us to a place where we start to feel ashamed, embarrassed, and lost to the point where, like Adam and Eve, we run and hide from God instead of running to God.
Come on.
We do things that we know we're not supposed to do. We touch trees that we're not supposed to touch. Wow. We lay with people that we lay with.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Well, come on. Come on. My God.
That we are not supposed to lay with. We ain't take things into this temple that God has trusted
us with. Come on.
That we are not supposed to. All types of intoxications and addictive things that we do. We go places that we're not supposed to go, even though Holy Spirit checks us at, don't go in there. But we go in there anyway, because we need to, for some reason, I know I'm a little hard-headed, just a little. And when I go and I do things, and I'm like, but God, come on, you can't be serious. And I'm here to listen. I know I hear from God. And it's like, what in the world? What in the world? But God, come on, you know I got on my cute shoes. I'm outside today, Jesus. I'm about to go because my friends are here. And then you get there and God is just wrecking you. You like,
I can't even have fun. Jesus, I can't even have fun, Jesus.
But if you sit there and allow the enemy to persuade you, to convince you that it's not that serious, you begin to get comfortable in the sin. Sin becomes normal to you. Making sinful decisions become okay. There's never that switch. That may not necessarily be, no. Because the goal is to do it slowly. Sin will come into your life. It will present itself in things and people that look good. The people are going to smell good. They're just going to be good in those things. And you're just going to be like, ooh, God, sweet. They can't be that bad. Like, God, can she be that bad? She cute. But terrible. Whole demons. God, can he be that good? Like, he smelled good when I saw him passing. And he looked good. Right. Help us, Jesus. Help your people this morning, Lord. Like, but But the enemy knows what our desires are. Although God knows what our needs are, the necessities, the enemy knows what our desires are. And unfortunately, contrary to what popular societal norms and advice is, our necessities and our desires do not always line up.
That's right.
So what I need may not always be what Aisha looks for. What I need may not always be what I desire. God, they doing too much. I don't even want to, you go to places or you have people in it. Yeah, like my pastor. So I love my pastor. I love my pastor. I do. But sometimes I'm like, God, I'm like, Adam, that pastor you sent me. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Help us, Holy Ghost. Help us, Jesus, I tell you. And when we feel convicted, we need to get to that. Help me preach this word, God, Jesus. I don't want to get to a point ever where I do something and the Holy Spirit dwelling in me is so grieved that shut down or even left to the point where when I begin to operate freely and carelessly, normally in sin, that I am no longer convicted. I don't ever want to be in a place where when I get to that point of sin and it's my norm that I can't hear the voice of God, that I can't recognize when God is trying to speak to me, that I can't feel his presence near me when he's trying to touch me, pick me up out of the depths of that demise and that dirty, dark cave that I put myself in. When he comes to rescue me, I want to be able to hear him when he calls me. I want to be able to hear him when he calls me. I want to be able to recognize his hand when he puts it down to pick me up, to dust me off after he gives me a couple of holy pow-pows, because I know I need them. I know I need them. I know I need them. So when he picks me up and he puts me back on the correct path, on his perfect path for my life, I want to be able to recognize that. I don't want to run. I don't want to hide my face from my Father.
Right.
I don't, it's Father's Day, and today, everybody knows I'm a daddy's girl. I was a dad. I love that man. God knows I love daddy. I never had to run from my Father. I didn't ever feel that I couldn't talk to my Father about anything. Even when I did wrong, I could go to daddy, because even though daddy was upset in the natural, he always helped me correct the situation. He always loved me. He didn't tell me to go run and hide. He didn't turn his back on me when I needed daddy. I could call him for anything. He would be there. He would be there for my friends too. Come and get us. He would be mad at us, but he would come and get us up out of that mess that we put ourselves in. He came to the rescue. So I don't ever want to be in a position where Daddy, Abba, Father God, my creator, the sovereign one, the one who loves me more than anyone could ever love me. I don't want to be in a place that when he's coming for me, when God is coming checking for them and they ran and they hid, I don't want to run from you, God.
Right.
Do you know how hurtful that must have been? God, you're dwelling with God. You're in the same garden physically. Speak that with God, and he's just chilling. He's just walking y'all for an afternoon stroll, and you have to hide from God? No, sir. No, ma'am. I don't want to do that. I don't ever want to run and hide. We just need to ask God to keep us connected. Even in our sinful nature, God knows he loves us. He loves us, but the enemy hates us. He hates us with a passion, and his desire is to get us to that place where once we've sinned and we just think we're too far gone, or once we sinned and we're not even aware of it. But when we become aware, he keeps us. We're at that point where we're so disconnected from God that we stay hidden. We are too afraid to come out and say, God, I did wrong. God, I went there and you told me not to. God, I did that and you told me not to. God, I did them and you told me not to. God, we're going to be real in this church, okay? We did the things exactly. And we hear, Holy Spirit, you be in your car driving wherever you ain't got no kind of business going outside. I'm speaking to myself. And then you go in there and you hear God, so you turn the music up a little louder. You call somebody that's going to be with your shenanigans. She probably watching. Listen, and they telling you, go ahead, girl, probably right. Probably. To God, yeah. And you know God didn't tell you to go there. You know God didn't tell you to answer that phone call. You know God didn't tell you to put that outfit on. You know God didn't tell you to do that, but you did it anyway. You don't want to get to that point where God says, right now I got to say ouch and amen. I do. I have to say ouch and amen. Because we need to get to the place that God, we understand that God knows that we sin, that we will sin. But if we come to him, if we come out of hiding, if we come up with just peek our heads out of the cave, like the woman tried, all she had to do was touch the hem of his garment. All we got to do is peek our heads out of the cave and cry out to him. God, I done messed up again. I've gotten myself into this place. I know what you said. I heard, yes, I did, you know, Holy Spirit, I'm sorry. I no longer want to hide because I don't want you to get to the point where you're hiding from me, where you turn your back from me, where you no longer love me, where you no longer protect me, where you no longer keep me, where you no longer forgive me, where the grace and mercy has completely ran out. God, I don't want to be in that place, but the enemy desires for us to stay in that place. So that way what happens is when we try to cry out, when we try to peek our little heads out of the cave, we're like little turtles, our necks can't come all the way out. But that's the place of condemnation. And we know that the Bible tells us that there is therefore now no condemnation. So no matter what you have done, you could never sin too much. You could never sin too frequently to the point where God cannot love you through it, where that blood doesn't cover it. There's no place on this earth that we can go that that blood that Jesus shed for our sins,
right, my God,
isn't covered. The enemy comes in with his slick, conniving, deceptive, lying, stinking self, jealous that you still can cry out and God hears you. Not only does God hear you, but he answers you. When you cry out, Father, forgive me. Father, I am sorry. I stretch my hands to you. I know I shouldn't have gone here. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. The enemy doesn't care. He wants you to be with him because he no longer has that privilege. It is a privilege to be out to cry to a risen Savior. It is a privilege to be able to cry out and say, Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice, because you knew I was going to be a wretched mess. A wretched mess. God, I thank you. Sometimes we deal with that condemnation with our stuff on. We don't even let anybody know. We're our worst critics, our worst judge. Too often, we feel ashamed to go to God and cry out for that. We get disconnected and we're separated. To us, not to God. God, we're not separated from him. We separate ourselves. We try to hide. But we have to remember that word is true. The no condemnation. Do not allow the enemy to ever convince you that what you did is so bad that you got to stay hiding. When God calls your name to tell you he loves you, you can't even answer because you're stuck in the condemnation. It is mass nowadays in depression. It is mass in mental health issues because we've gotten ourselves into a tizzy naturally. And it's like we can't even go to God. We got to go to medications and things like that because we're so busy beating ourselves up and taking on things that we should not have taken on in the first place because we've listened to people that didn't have any type of authority to speak to us. No one qualified you to come and tell me that I was bipolar. No one qualified you to tell me that I was depressed. No one qualified you to tell me that I would never amount to absolutely anything. Devil, you are continually proven an absolute defeated liar. So why are you listening to him? Why are you listening to him? Our responsibility is to repent. Our responsibility when we fall short, when we miss the mark, when we drop the ball, when we outright sin, is to repent, to go to God and ask for forgiveness humbly. That's our responsibility. Our responsibility, we were never given the charge to hold on to that mess. We were never assigned the task of sulking when we walk in salvation.
Right.
That's not our assignment. I don't see that anywhere in the text, anywhere in the 66 books. But we speak these things. We speak these things constantly over ourselves. Here, I'm not going to go here. I'm not going to apply for that. I don't qualify. They said I was too young.
Right.
They don't like my preaching style.
Right.
They don't believe in the fivefold.
Go on.
They told me I wasn't a prophetic voice.
Yeah.
God said,
yes.
What? Who told you that?
Who told you that?
Who told you that? Because just like Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew the plans that I had for you. I told you and I placed my words in your mouth and I told you to go and speak. So now you coming back to me, God, telling me what you couldn't do? I told you that you could do all things through my son, Jesus Christ, all things.
Right.
So who told you that?
Who told you that?
And why are you listening to me?
Why are you listening?
The doctor said, they have X amount of time, and you know, who told you that? I'm sorry, sir. Who told you that you could not walk in wholeness? Who told you that you could not walk in healing? Who told you that you could not walk in deliverance? When I know that the Bible tells me death and life are in the power of the tongue. So which tongue are you allowing to bite me in your ear? Who told you that? Who told you that? Who told you that? But death and life, as Proverbs says, are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it and indulge in it eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. What did Adam and Eve do? They allowed the serpent to come with his deathly words. They allowed Lucifer to enter their space with his deathly words, inspiring them because they were draped in enticement. They were draped in oohs and ahs. It was like, oh, but if you just touch this fruit, you ain't gonna die. Come on, girl, that ain't that serious. You just wanna, come on, just go ahead and eat it. He allows you to do that. And what happened when you ate the fruit? You have to now bear the consequences of the words that you listened to because you allowed him to come in there and speak to you. God didn't tell you to do that. And this morning, because my pastor always gives on me, I have points today. I have actual points. God, look at me, just growing and stuff. So now I'm gonna give us my 5 points, and I'm going to sit my little self down this morning, if that's what God says. And I have 5 W's. You know, when we were in elementary school, we had the who, what, where, when, whys, and hows. And these are our 5 W's that are going to be critical information for our survival. The first one we have is the who. Who are you listening to? Who have you allowed to have access to you and your ears today or any day? Who told you that whatever it is that's keeping you stagnant and scared? Who told you that? Who told you that you were not good enough? And who did you listen to? And why did you listen to them? And now look at you walking around feeling like you won't be able to accomplish anything bigger than where you already are or what you already have because you're listening to the wrong voice. The Bible tells us that my sheep know my voice. In the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. So why are you listening to these people when you know, Jesus, when you know what God said about you, when you know God has confirmed over and over and over that you are a prophet of his, and he speaks to you and he gives you his words and downloads and visions and dreams? Who told you that you could not say that? Who told you that you could not do that? Who told you that you could not go there? And then the second one is the what. What are they saying? What have they told you that is still with you today that is keeping you stuck in places and with people that you should have never been with in the first place? Who spoke to you when you were a child and told you you were stupid? And now you believe it. I can't graduate from college. I can't accomplish this. I can't go there because when I was little, they kept telling me I was stupid. Baby, why would you listen? Because that was my parents, so because that was, because God said, I have been speaking to you louder than your parents were speaking to you as far back as 5 years old. Mighty God, I hear you. Before you understood who I was, you recognized my voice. I spoke to you and I told you that I called you to be a prophet to the nation. So why are you listening to them? Why are you stagnant? Why are you stuck? Why are you hiding? Why are you taking the word that I give you and I download it into you and then you go and you hide? Because you're scared to give the word. What have they said to you?
What?
Number 3 is the when. When do they speak to you? When do they speak to you? It definitely is. Are they speaking to you when you're most vulnerable?
Right.
Are they speaking to you when you're weak and emotional? And emotionally and mentally and physically and spiritual states that will cause you to compromise some things. They creep in with their unsolicited suggestions and unwise counsel. or are they by your side every step of the way, giving you godly wisdom?
Right.
No matter what season you're in, are they interceding for you on your behalf in the situations that you may be in? Are they encouraging you and speaking words of life into you when you're walking dead, when you need them? Are they there when you need them and not when they want to be or when it's convenient only for them? When are they there? Are they there watching you fall down in that cave, or when you rising up, ain't nobody around? You look around and like, but what happened to you after y'all was cheering me on when I was going down into the cave? When are they talking to you? Where is number four? Where are all of these unauthorized voices directing you when they're giving you, when they're giving you advice and counsel?
Right.
Where are they directing you? Are they sending you back to the Word of God? Or are they coming from the book of their emotions and their pride and their flesh? Where are they getting their information from? What's their source? Who is their source and who is their provider? Who is their God? Is it God or is it them? Where have they been when you were going through what you were going through? When you're going through the things of life, can they relate? Have they been there? Where have they been before? It gives them permission and qualifies them to speak to you in this situation. Where have they been and where are they going? And the fifth one is why. Why are they talking to you? Why are they talking to you? Is it because they're genuinely interested in you, your walk with God, and your well-being, and your salvation, your loved ones? Or are they just watchers and lurkers and monitoring spirits? Are they sent to make sure that you don't come up out of the mess?
Wow.
Are they sent to keep you in the valley from your previous ungodly counsel? Some people thrive over watching you in your desolate, dry places. Be mindful. You have to ask, why are you here? And who sent you? It boosts some people's fleshly ego. But once you come up or you ask for advice to get out of that mess, that they feel bigger than you in. Because a lot of times people are okay with you when you're in your dry place. They're okay with you when you're in that valley, when you're in the dark place, because they're up here. They're not down there, so they can look down and they feel big about themselves. Why are you listening to them? Are you listening to those demons of despair? The demons of depression, no self-worth, anything that goes contrary to the word of God and what God has spoken about you, what God has spoken to you. Jesus. Who told you that years ago the only way out was to leave?
Wow. Yeah.
Who told you that? Stop listening to your mother because your father left and you thought that you weren't going to be a good father. As soon as you had a child and things got rough, you left because that's all you heard. The devil is a liar. You can stay and you can make it work. You can be good. Jesus. Who convinced you of these things as a child? It's time to get delivered from these things that have had us bound for generations, decades. Some of us have been walking, holding weights. Our backs are spiritually bent. We can't do anything because we are so heavy laden with word seeds that were planted. Walking around the whole forests of generational demons, trees of demons, from the garden that was contaminated. Why are you doing it? Why are you still listening to them? Who in your church, what leadership has told you that you did not hear from God? Jesus. Meanwhile, they're behind the sacred desk in the finest vestments, stoles, garments, all the ordination, consecration, licensing on the walls, but they're hiding in plain sight. They're hiding behind the vestments and they haven't heard from God in years. Some of them are genuine and they're just afraid. But the ones that are not, repent. Stop hiding. You can't hide. We can't see everything that is going on, God. See, in my love, Jesus. You're hiding in plain sight. God has been calling you for the past few years, and you're running.
Oh.
You're running. You're running. What is it that God needs to do to get you to take off those fig leaves and present yourself to him as he wants you, as he desires? God needs you to come out of hiding and stop listening to the voices that go contrary to his word. Everything that he's spoken to your life will surely come to pass. But if you go contrary, you will surely die and spend a life in eternal hell. We don't preach that anymore. But hell is absolutely real. And if you don't come out of hiding, repent and get back on course. If you keep listening, my God, if you keep listening to those that are unauthorized, unqualified to speak into your life, surely, continue eating from that tree, you will die. Thank you, Jesus. 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 When God calls you next time, don't run. When he's gracious enough and loving to call you again, don't run. Don't hide. Let him remove the fig trees and get you all together. Don't hide. We need to repent, church.